We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. As promised, Jeff Brown joins us now to talk some Penn State basketball. Jeff, first of all, how are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And interesting choice of words. I think it's an interesting time to be trying to look at this Penn State basketball program. Certainly national news headlines, but try to bring that into perspective of where things are with Pat Chambers and his team. Obviously, the thing people are talking about the most, the shove on Miles Dredd against Michigan. What did you think when you saw it? How surprised were you by it? How out of character did you feel like that was?
Well, see, I'm split because I'm going to be 60 years old this year. And when I was playing sports, it was not unusual. In fact, especially for me, you know, to get my face guard grabbed or my uniform tugged or my arm yanked or whatever by a coach trying to make a point and trying to either fire me up or try to get my head back in the game. And that's just the way it was, and it was not a big deal. And we are living in a completely different era now. We are ultra PC. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just saying you can't lay your hands on an athlete anymore. You can't lay your hands on a kid. I mean, talk to people who are teaching in elementary schools and middle schools and then how frustrated they can get sometimes because you cannot discipline. And so I'm in the middle here. I'm stuck in the middle. I know Patrick knows you can't put hands on an athlete. And I would love to know what incensed him so much that he would run into that huddle and as mad as he looked and shove Miles Dredd. I would love to know what happened, and I don't. But like I said, in these times, you can't do it. And Patrick knows you can't do it. And to his credit, at the end of the game, he owned it completely and apologized and accepted the suspension and all that stuff. Now, on the other hand, to me and people I have spoken to of similar age, we all think it was blown completely out of proportion. So it all depends on how old you are, what side of the PC fence you're sitting on, whether it was no big deal, and why in the world are people making a big thing out of this, and the other side of it, which was, oh my goodness, he ought to be fired immediately. I don't think he should be fired immediately. His players, and I think that's the most important part, his players don't think he should be fired. They don't think, the players didn't think anything of it, for crying out loud. So, I don't know. I think it's up to the individual to try to decide just how bad this incident was.
Well, it's interesting. You know, like I'm not quite of the same age as you, and I view it kind of the same way. And I also think that, you know, in this day and age, you know that that's a no-no as a coach. You know, right. You certainly know it when it's on national television. And I think that's that's the thing, the judgment kind of thing. And I guess the TV broadcast said that Miles missed a defensive assignment. And I also suspect that through now 15 games, there have been so many similar instances that there had to have been some kind of underlying frustration with so much youth and so many things that need to be corrected, so many missed assignments, that maybe that fed into the mind of Patrick Chambers and it funneled through him in that moment. I don't know.
That's what I was saying. Patrick is an aggressive guy, and yeah, he can be volatile at times. We've certainly all recognized that if anybody's sitting close to the bench of the BJC. But there is no way, at least in my mind, that happened just because Miles Dredd missed a defensive assignment. And that's what I was talking about. I would love to know the backstory of what was going on. And you look at the video, he was angry. I mean, incensed. And that's not missing a defensive assignment. There's got to be stuff to build up to that. I don't know what it is. I'd love to know. But, you know, we've seen Patrick get angry before, but he always knew when to pull it back.
Yeah, and the way that things have gone, you know, the word that I used earlier, you just wonder if there's a sense of desperation to try to you know, through all these different struggles and the way things are going, it's been a tough go, and trying to snap out of it. You're trying to get this team collectively to mature and stop doing some of these things. I think there's a certain amount of desperation, not in terms of, you know, saving a job or anything like that necessarily, but to get the ship pointed in the right direction.
I completely agree with you. Last time was a perfect example. I mean, my goodness, 11 turnovers in the first half and led to 19 points. This was a night when Wisconsin was not necessarily shooting well at first. Now, they shot lights out in the second half. But, Ethan Happ missed, gosh, I'll say 6, 7, maybe even 8 shots that Ethan Happ doesn't normally miss. They had the whole team was collectively off in the first few minutes. Penn State could have taken advantage of that, and in fact, they did not because of all the turnovers. But you give up 19 points off 11 turnovers, and you only get 4. There's your 15 points there, and you've got yourself a ball game, and it can go any, you know, either way from there. But they did not look like their heads were in the game last night at all.
Well, that would be my question too. Is all this stuff, and you know, anytime you do anything you'd like to forget, there's a large band of outrage police out there to make a bigger deal out of it possible. And usually I would say that that's pretty harmless. But then you look back at, Tennessee's coaching search when they were about to hire Greg Schiano, and the Twitter outrage cops really got the decision makers to back off that position. Sometimes that kind of outrage can influence what decision makers are going to do. So there's something to be said for that. But the day and age that we live in, you can't afford a slip up like that. And then I think to your point, it showed up in the overall sense of the team and not really being a factor at all, despite some early opportunities. 71-52, the loss to Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was an ugly game. And it's a shame. I felt bad for Keith Urgo and the staff. Because, you know, Keith is a tremendous guy. He's a great basketball coach. He's going to do well for himself. But he was just in an impossible situation last night. And I know he wanted to at least be competitive. And it just didn't work out that way.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking to Jeff Brown about Penn State basketball, the state of their season, coming off a 71-52 loss to Wisconsin, now 7-8. You mentioned the turnovers, 19 points off of them for Wisconsin, just 4 for Penn State in that game. And as you mentioned, you know, that's part of the difference in that game. Didn't exactly shoot it great. It reminded me of some of those early season games where it was all Lamar Stevens and nobody else really emerged as a second guy. He finishes with 22 points. Really not a bad...
I hate to interrupt you, but were those 22 of the quietest points you've ever seen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
I thought he was struggling. He was not getting any calls last night. He was getting beaten up almost every time he had the ball. And then when I looked up at the board at the end, I thought, how in the world did he get 22 points?
Well, he got there. 9 out of 18 shooting. It kind of sneaks up on you a little bit. And I think, you know, turnovers, he had 4 turnovers of his own. Mike Watkins in the starting lineup there had 5 turnovers of his own. Mm-hmm. It's just the kind of stuff that you can't afford. Given the way that a good team and the way that you're going, you got to be as clean as possible. This was not a clean game for Penn State.
Well, at one point they went down 16, and then they fought back, and they ended up down 10 at half. And, you know, even the people around me were thinking, you know, all right, they're still in this. As badly as they played in the first half, they're okay. But then when the team you're playing comes out and shoots 60%, tough to make that 10 points up.
It is tough to make that 10 points up. So 7-8 now through 15 games. What would you have expected through 15 games at the start of the year, given all the different youth and changes?
Oh, boy. I would have thought 10-5.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 9-6, but... Yeah, they have lost some tough games. You know, Steve Jones always says the thing about if they would have only gotten 4 more baskets, they'd have 3 more wins, which is true. So, at this point, I never would have guessed that they would be sub-500. And now you look at the schedule in front of them, Nebraska there is going to be real tough. And then you got Michigan State back here this coming Sunday. They've got a tough row to hoe to get off the schneid here.
You know what I think's going on here, Jeff? I think that in a lot of years, 7 and 8 might not really get much of a second look through 15 games. But I think there's a certain moral victory exhaustion that's going on around here. Like, I don't think nobody wants moral victories anymore. Nobody wants you hung with Alabama. Oh, you hung with Wisconsin. They don't want that anymore. I think the time is coming. And really, this was, you know, one of Patrick Chambers' job. One of his jobs was to elevate expectations to that point where you're expecting wins. You're not expecting, you know, these pats on the back saying, oh, it's okay. You played well, but you lost.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And the guy who would completely agree with you more than me would be Patrick Chambers.
Yeah.
I mean, he is sick and tired of moral victories. You know, he wants victories in the win column. And, you know, I wish I knew basketball better so that I could sit here and say, well, they're doing this and they're doing this and they're doing this and they're doing this. I don't understand it. The talent is there. Is it, you know, 3 freshmen that are having big, playing a lot of enough minutes? Is that what it is? Is it Watkins trying to get back on his feet? He looks like, you know, especially the last 2 games, he's looked fairly good except for the turnovers. So maybe he's turned around. But, you know, in those first 15 games, you either didn't have him on the floor at all or you only had a shadow of himself. Is it that? They're small, relatively speaking. Is it that? I truly don't know. But, yeah, you know, if you're looking for somebody sick of moral victories, look no further than Patrick Chambers, because I know it's got to be bugging him. Maybe that's the cause of the anger.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we'll start to hear from Patrick going into the week. They're at Nebraska on Thursday, as you mentioned, at home against Michigan State. They've got Iowa at home. Really, you look down through the schedule, Jeff, there's not one game where you can circle and say, you know what, this is a break. This is where Penn State can get on track. It's the nature of the Big Ten.
And the thing is, too, and what frustrates me as a fan is that you look at the Big Ten this year. I mean, there could be 8 to 10 teams taken this year from the Big Ten. That's how good they are. It was a great position for Penn State to be in to maybe sneak into that top 8, that top 10, and have a real shot at the dance. And I don't believe they've got a shot now.
Well, I think the best thing that could happen is for Penn State to show progress in time for 2019, 2020. We'll see how it goes. As we mentioned, Nebraska, Michigan State, Iowa, Minnesota, Rutgers, Purdue, the depth of the Big Ten will challenge this Penn State team. That's Jeff Brown talking Penn State hoops with us on the Keystone Kickoff Show. And that's it for us on this edition. You can always check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and download the Keystone Sports app. We'll see you next time.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.